notice. This meeting is open to the public. Councilmembers Birdsall.
Here.
Keeler.
Present.
Lenstein.
Here.
Rooney.
Here.
And now, before we get started, if there are any remarks in the audience.
Chris Capillo, 370 Ocean Avenue, my favorite subject, it seems. 356 Ocean Avenue, I don't get it. Today's the 7th, zero has happened. Oh, they took the truck away. That started that journey since February. It's insane. I mean, listen, I don't live next to it, but there's also a full peninsula away. I mean, nobody's doing it. I mean, that building's falling apart too. I looked at a Google map just since 2013, nothing has changed. The whole facade of the building's falling down. I mean, there's so many, all I'm asking is, does somebody need to get hurt to get something done? It's the same thing with that house. I mean, it's just, if we're going to take it to court, well, them to court again, I'd like to know. I'd like to speak to the judge. I'd like to understand how this can go on for this long. If we didn't give her enough time, I'd say, you know, you rushed it, you gave her a couple of months. It's been going on over 10 years. So I just would like to get some sort of feedback from the lawyer, if that's possible, if we have to go to court again. Well, what do we do? I mean, it's the 7th, nothing, zero has gone on, except for they took the truck away. And the foundation, which from what I understand is another violation of the old shed, needs to be filled in. Someone drives on that upper, they can fall in. It's a good 2.5 foot drop, not more. So, listen, I have to look at this every day. This is a building that's just totally falling apart. I didn't say anything for years, and I'm done. I'm tired. I said that to Joanne's face, and I'll say it to Jim or anybody else. There's no reason that this is going on in this town.
Yeah, we did agree. May 15th was the fair deadline. That's next week.
Okay.
And at that point, we received the next step through legal remedies, and we'll let the lawyer speak to what that is.
Okay.
Go ahead. Can you just explain to what we do? So we believe we let a reasonable amount of time go. So now it's time to go back to the judge. Correct?
If she violates the agreement, yes, that she may proceed, yes.
Well, from what I understand, she violated it because this should have been done in the beginning of the year. There's no windows, roof, no new siding, anything. Her thought of that was, let's paint it and put some plywood on it. That's new windows and siding. That's not the correlation in my world of what, you know, what that is.
It's been 90 days since that time, and all that's happened that we've seen during that time was a miracle of the truck.
I mean, Rich, correct me if I'm wrong, she had from the court till the 15th of May. If not, you folks have to go back to the judge and say nothing has been completed.
That's the way it works here, basically.
So we have every reason to believe we're going right back to court. Because she can't get it done in a week.
They perform miracles, but. You know, like I say, they got the truck, but the truck took them from February when we started asking. The truck fell apart and rotted to the ground. They finally got rid of it. You know, Jack, thank you for, you know, telling me that we were going to get rid of it. But the house is the biggest problem. So, like anybody else, anybody that passes that situation, and the other problems that are basically abandoned, it seems. It's frustrating, because all I'm doing is breaking my butt on my own house, fixing walls and doing things, and then I gotta work with this every day. It's just not fair. And like you said, if we didn't give her enough time, I'd say, it's just not right. It's over 10 years, I don't know how much time you have to give someone.
We have
kind of
a 7-year anniversary from Sandy, which is
right, but that's Sandy. This house has been in disrepair before.
I understand. I'm willing to reset the clock because that reset.
Okay, so 7 years. If it was, you know, like I say, within a year is a reasonable amount of time. 7 years is absolutely insane. My opinion. Is there a way that if we have to go back to court, can I go with you or stand up and speak to the judge or...
There wouldn't be any mechanism for that, but I mean, you can't attend court, obviously, you can, yeah, that's public. But there wouldn't be any mechanism for where you'd be able to speak.
If we had, as a governing body, collected, say, letters or affidavits from witnesses, does that become part of any evidence that you would submit to the
only
court?
If you're bringing a motion or another proceeding that allows for affidavits.
So the judge would consider the evidence offering around?
Well, if it comes by way of a motion to enforce what the prior court order, then yeah, there may be an opportunity for that. Yeah.
Chris, okay. We're going to call on you in person, but we may call on some of your time.
Okay.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Heather Martinez. Janet Henschel, South East Church Street. First, I'd like to thank Councilman Virgil. We have a silk fence up there. It seems to be holding. I really appreciate that. It's been a couple of years of a messy situation. And I just have one question tonight on number 90-2-2019. What is an added assessment tax? What is that for?
That's from when they do improvements. They have to reassess the.
I believe that is the assessment
for the Mount County Palace
project. Right, the assessment's in separate. That's, I believe that's what it is. Go around and look at these powers as well.
Yeah, which is it? 14%?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the every year the Mount County Pilot Program means that your tax assessments are supposed to reflect 100% or close to 100% of real value. In the old days, they used to play this ratio game where, what is that, 60%? So we're all supposed to be within close to 100%. So within that program, 20% of the town has to be reassessed. So that within 5 years, 100% of the town has been reassessed. It's supposed to prevent the swings in property tax assessments, evaluations, etc. Okay. So I believe that it's a fair and open process to award the contracts. We have what it is, so I believe this is the bid award. And like, so if I'm misspeaking, please somebody stop.
So we do this every year. This is an ongoing thing.
Right. Ever since the pilot program started, it's only been a couple of years.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Used to be we had to do it every 10 years and it was like a huge expenditure and had to hire a company. Now we just do 20% a year.
What are we going to do when you leave?
I have no idea.
I don't know who else today, so we're going to have to go to jail.
Not that good.
This is tied, isn't this tied to the flyers, the little postcards I went in?
Yes.
Yeah. Will we do postcards I went in?
Well, I mean, Jack knows the answer. Ryan Kelly knows the answer.
We've received the bids, the proposals. Mike included it in this year's capital program. We're going to wait until the end of the summer or early fall to do it if there's any more settlement, because we don't want to seal it and then see other cracks. Right. And then we're going to seal the entire walkway.
Who's paying? You're paying for it?
Yeah.
There's no warranty or guarantee that it won't crack?
No, the absolutely not. As I spoke to you, the seawall is made of rocks, they're going to settle. Right. We knew that. We, you know,
the smart on concrete company saying that we can't guarantee it.
Right, they put in the mesh and the fiberglass in the mix. But they say surface cracks, they say there's nothing to worry about, but I think we all agree that we'd like to have it sealed. So we appropriated it in the capital improvement project for this year, and we'll do it before the winter, give it another 6 months to settle if there's any settlement. They did this process in Red Bank. It's a slurry seal with sand mix in it, and it'll cover the whole thing. And you know, I would think that the rocks will continue to settle though over the years, or we wouldn't have had a walkway for 20 more years if we wouldn't wait. So we're there are two processes. They're all about under $15,000 for the entire walkway. So at the, when the appropriate time comes, we'll pick the one that we feel is most appropriate, the council and the mayor decides.
And the other thing was that that walkway was put in by the same people that did they would see Army Corps of Engineers and did the wall.
So, one of the contractors.
One of the contractors that worked for them. So it was part of that project. So it wasn't like a separate RFP that we would have gotten a guarantee on or something like that. So we basically got a lot cheaper than if we had by night. So.
I just came across an article. Remember when we were trying to raise $1.1 million to build a boardwalk after Sandy? Good times.
One more question. The ordinance for the resident parking for the designated streets, the way I read it is that only Seabright residents can get permit parking pass. That's cool.
I believe that it's two per household on addresses on the approved streets. I don't think they tie it to a registration. It's two per household. Is that correct, Chief?
That's correct. The way it reads that the proof is that you need a license for the Seabright address or a registration for the Seabright address. The only way you get those is to be a resident.
So the 101 permit holder has to go in and show that information to get the two permits.
Right.
What happens to the second permit, I don't think is under
control. So if you have a cell home here, you can't get a permit because it's...
You can.
You can. Because your license or the registration will show you.
And then say, and then I presume you present yourself at the police station, you say this is my summer home, and there's verification to that, they would approve it.
You have to bring a lease or an utility bill, and your name shown as you.
Oh, yeah, there we go. All right, thanks.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time to do this or not, but I'll give you three minutes. All right, okay. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Chris Dobsky, a Seabright resident for many years, and I'm here this evening to speak to you about the newly formed Seabright Historical Society and our plans for the future. We have not met monthly since last August to discuss our goals, mission, and vision. We have solid plans for a newsletter which will be available on the historical site biannually, and we even have a volunteer that will prepare the newsletter. We have filed for and have become a nonprofit 501c3. We have planned a fundraiser cocktail party for Sunday, June 2nd, mailed invitations to Seabright residents, even one that is living part-time in Paris. The response from Seabright has been overwhelming thus far, and Seabright Historical Society has received over $5,000 from sponsors, donors, and patrons.
Yeah.
So what is next for us? What does Seabright Historical Society really need? We need a home. We would require a space in a convenient area within our town, a space where we could start out with our historical pictures, memorabilia, and then go on to chronicle our rich cultural heritage for viewing by the public. We now have many new residents in Seabright who should learn and enjoy the new expanded fishing village of Nauvoo. We all have, we all, meaning the Seabright Historical Society, have discussed and brainstormed areas for our home, and we all have honed in on the perfect space. We would like to ask the governing body to consider giving us a small part of the administrative area of the old borough hall for home for the Seabright Historical Society. As the society goes forward, it is our goal that we will find funding for programs and speaker. Within the next week or so, a Seabright historical member, Mary Ware, who I have brought with me tonight, as back, and I will be meeting with Nick Wood, an interpretive specialist who runs the Twin Lights in Highlands. He is a historian and an expert in education programming. He's very well versed on the ins and outs of grant application and has offered his knowledge and assistance to help the Seabright Historical Society move forward. We know that there are many things to work out, but we will do it. configuration of space, weekend staffing will all be volunteer. History is so important. I ask that the mayor and council grant us the use of this space for the education and betterment of our town of Seabright. I want to thank you for your consideration this evening, and I personally appreciate your time. I think you all have this in your packets.
Oh, right.
So I would like you all to consider it.
So let's make a mechanism to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask you to get in touch with Joe Baroni next week.
Okay.
And we'll schedule a meeting of the appropriate members of the governing body.
Right.
And group now to
okay.
exceed
and
three.
It would be the whole area. It would just be the small
understand.
Part.
Yeah. I'm super proud of all that you've accomplished, and it's really tremendous.
It's been a lot of fun. Really has.
So I want to, like I said, I'd like to make a mechanism to follow up on your request.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Any other remarks from the audience? Okay. We have a budget presentation to take us through the municipal budget. There's no time to make formal action on the budget. Do we have time?
We're going to have to make time, Mayor, yes, for this. Mike can do a short presentation.
I mean, there's really good stuff in here, right? So
we'll highlight it all. We try to narrow it down.
And then,
we try to narrow it down to just those topics that you'd like to see that most of the questions are asked on. Obviously, a 2019 budget was introduced at the last, back to April 2nd, I believe it was. So tonight, unfortunately, because the state is behind on reviewing budget documents, they were unable to review our budget document in time to give us the approval to adopt tonight. So tonight, we'll conduct the budget hearing, and then we'll close the hearing, and we can move on to other business, which, by the way, will include a budget amendment. But this is the budget as introduced. 2019, we'll say the storm recovery continues, mainly because we're watching another building across the way from here as it goes through its final phases of construction. The majority of the ratable base has returned. The community disaster loan has been forgiven. The departments have gone back to their stable budgets, pre-Sandy stable budgets. The reconstruction of our facilities are on track for 2019 completion. We have infrastructure improvements that are ongoing, and we're working hard to reduce the risk from future disasters and storms. And that's all reflected in the budget. So, you know, part of the mission statement of the budget is to have a resilient community, to be able to recover from future storms, to have some fiscal stability while maintaining the quality of life for our residents and businesses, providing the basic services to the community, making public safety, health, and welfare of the community the priority, having capital debt for growth of the community and distribution of costs, the budget itself balances that continued loss of state aid, and the budget, once again, does not include any budget gimmicks or one-time revenues. It's a true budget. The overview of the impacts on this budget, which of course you see at the bottom, is a tax rate decrease of 3.13%. So the tax rate will go from 59.3 cents per hundred to 57.4 cents. Per hundred, which on the average home is assessed just under $600,000. The average home would pay about $110 less if their value was the same in 18 and 19. If their value increased, obviously that will change the numbers. But if you were the average home in the community, you would see an average of $110 decrease based upon this budget. So basically, this is a chart that shows where the budget has gone since Sandy to now. As you can see, you know, prior to Sandy, we were just under $6 million was our budget. I know the mayor reminds me of this all the time, that you want to get back to that 5.3. But the recovery obviously drove the budget up to as high as over $10 million. And now the budget has dropped in 2016 down to 6.6. And now we've gotten back down to the $6 million range. And you can see we've been stable for the last 3 years with our budget, and that's where we project being roughly as we go forward, and that's where we can sustain our operations. We'll see minor increases as we go through in subsequent years, but we've gotten back to fiscal health and a stable budget. There's just again the average home impact The tax paid by the average home is about $3,400. Keep in mind, that's the municipal share of the tax. It does not include the school tax and the county tax. That's simply for municipal purposes. The regulatory impacts, which I'll go over in just a second again, that we deal with in this budget are the appropriations cap. So we're under the appropriations cap, which I'll show you in a moment. We're under the levy cap, which I'll show you in a moment. We're making our full pension contributions. We're dealing with any unfunded mandates, and we are looking forward with this budget. We're not creating a budget that does not allow us to budget a similar level moving forward. This chart just reflects once again that loss in state aid. They call it state aid. It drives me crazy to call it state aid. It's not state aid. This is your money that was diverted to the state that the state has not returned back to us that they should. So if you see at the beginning, that was when they were receiving. We were receiving 100% of what we were due. And then, as you can see, this is the amount that the state is supposed to be giving us of the revenue they collect on our behalf, and this is the amount that they're actually giving us. So over this, this budget's about $175,000 short on that state aid number compared to what they should be paying us. And over time, it's been a $1.8 million shortage to the borough. We say on and on, the municipalities and every community should be lobbying the state to restore this back to its full financing level. So the budget is there's two caps on the budget, basically, that are set by state law. One is the appropriations cap, which limits the amount that you can increase spending by. So on the spending side, our budget is $4.7 million. We can spend $5.3 million. So we're $660,000 below the appropriations cap. So we could actually spend additional $660,000. We choose not to do that. So that's part of your management. We're close to being in a situation where you need to go to referendum or anything along that line to balance your budget. On the levy cap, there's a second, this is another a cap that's set by state regulation, and this basically sets the amount that you can increase taxes by. And we are 71, this is a much more difficult cap, this is a 2% cap. It's pretty much a pretty hard cap. And we are $71,000 below that cap. So we could have increased taxes by another $71,000. We chose not to. We will retain that right for a number of years to increase that, but at this point we don't need that to balance our budget. So this is just how our surplus is moving forward, and we have projected this. We've talked about this for years, that we expected the balance of surplus to get back to where it was prior to Sandy, maybe a little bit better than what it was prior to Sandy. And we had purposely built a large surplus to get us through Sandy recovery without major tax increases, which we were able to accomplish. So over those 4 years, you've maintained a stable and decreasing tax rate while you're recovering from Sandy. It was 5-6 years actually. Now the surplus is getting back to where it was prior to Sandy, and you'll see that on this chart. The top line, basically the amount of surplus held at the end of the year. So you can see we're coming back down to where we were prior to Sandy. The yellow line, which is harder to see, is the amount of surplus that we use to balance the budget. And as you can see, we're getting back in line with where we were prior to Sandy. And then this line is the amount that is remaining after the budget's adopted. And you can see we're still far above where we were prior to Sandy. So we're still in a very strong fiscal situation. That leaves us confident that we have a couple years to continue to manage the budget. We don't see any. There's no problem on the horizon that we could be aware of, that we could expect. And certainly we still have the capability to deal with any major emergency like a Sandy again, God forbid. So this is the taxable values in the town. As you can see, as the mayor spoke just a moment ago, we try to stay at about 100% of value. So right now, values are $778 million total in the borough. That's about a 6% increase over last year. So you're seeing a combination of things, increasing values based on sales and increasing ratables based on reconstruction. So that combination is also helping you to maintain stability. Again, as I said before, we're not deferring any pensions, we're not deferring any school tax. We're not requesting any waivers, we're not issuing any debt, and we're not asking for any extraordinary aid. This is just a true budget, as it has been for over a decade. I can't guess how long it's been a true budget, but it's at least 15, 20 years. This is just a comparison of the average tax bill. So the red is the state, the average taxes paid by throughout the state. The yellow is the average tax on the average home in Monmouth County. And the green is the average tax on the average home in Seabright. So as you can see, we remain significantly below the county and state averages. This is the composition of the amount of taxes that you pay. So as you can see, the borough receives $4.3 million of taxes. The Shore Regional School tax receives $3.5 million. The local school tax is $516,000, and the county tax is over $2 million. So as you can see, more than half of your taxes go to, while you collect 100% of them, more than half the taxes go to the schools in the county. The beach utility remains self-liquidating. It's operating at normal budget levels again. Once again, same as the general budget. It's recovered from Sandy. I project, going forward, that the beach utility will continue to operate at normal budget level, even being able to weather rainy weekends. The sewer utility, again, is also a self-liquidating utility. Self-liquidating means that the fees collected for sewers cover all the costs related to sewers, so taxpayers don't have to pick up the cost of sewers. Same thing with the beach utility. Taxpayers don't have to pay for any of the beach operations. That's completely funded by those who utilize the beach and utilize the sewer system. Projections for going forward, I expect a stable budget. I expect that we'll be able to continue to comply with the 2% cap. We'll continue, I know this year we'll be issuing debt. We'll be issuing long-term financing on the borrowings that were necessary for some of this construction. We've projected that, which is partially why our surplus balance is high, and also why this parking revenue is not being fully anticipated into this budget. But as we begin to issue that long-term borrowing, we'll bring in more of the parking revenue to pay that off, and the cell tower revenue to pay that off. So although we'll be issuing a significant amount of bonds at the end of the year, we've projected, we have the revenue in place to pay them down as we move forward. And that was as quickly as I could possibly do that.
I love the pictures.
So, any comments? So you can open it for public.
Yeah. Anyone have any questions on the budget? Tax rates, tax impacts.
$0.593. All right, I'll go back to the slide that had it. Let's see. So it was 59.3 cents last year. It's projected at 57.4 cents based on this budget.
Brian?
Yes.
Oh, Captain Kelly. That was a vote, yes.
Yes.
Next we have a public hearing for ordinance number 9, 2019, and this is our land use amendment. We received our acknowledgement from the Monmouth County Planning Board on April 24th and from the Seabright Planning Board on April 26th.
I'll make a motion to approve the following. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Is anybody in the public wishing to make any changes to ordinance number 9, 2019, which changes chapter 130 for seasonal parking lots?
Motion to close. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Moving on to public hearing tonight, which is for bond ordinance.
Move to adopt.
Thank you, Councilman.
You're welcome. I make a motion to adopt the ordinance. Second.
Councilman Bertzow?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
No.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexie?
Yes.
Councilman Rudy?
Yes.
Thank you, Councilman.
You're welcome.
Right now, moving on to bond ordinance number 10, 2019. We need a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody in the audience who would be heard on ordinance number 10?
Move to vote on public ordinance. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is that an aye, Mr. Keeler?
Aye.
We need a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
Councilman Bertzow?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexie?
Yes.
Councilman Rudy?
Yes.
Now we're going to introduce bond ordinance number 11, 2019, for various vehicles and equipment.
I'll make a motion to introduce. Second.
Councilman Bertzow?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexie?
Yes.
Councilman Rudy?
Yes.
Okay, we're also going to introduce bond ordinance number 12, and these are various improvements to grounds.
I'll make a motion to introduce.
Second.
Councilman Bertzow?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexie?
Yes.
Councilman Rudy?
Yes.
Okay, and we have ordinance number 13, 2019, for each utility.
I'll make a motion to introduce.
Second.
Councilman Bertzow?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexie?
Yes.
Councilman Rudy?
Yes.
Number 14, this is for the stormwater extension project and on each way.
I'll make a motion to introduce.
Second.
Councilman Bertzow?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexie?
Yes.
Councilman Rudy?
Yes.
We have received the budget presentation. We need a resolution authorizing the budget to be read by title.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Councilman Bertzow?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexie?
Yes.
Councilman Rudy?
Yes.
All right. We need a motion to open the public hearing on the 2019 municipal budget.
I'll make that motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody in the audience wish to be heard on the municipal budget?
Motion to close. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And now we need resolution 95, 2019, with the budget amendment.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Mayor?
Did I miss it?
No, you didn't. You didn't miss a thing. But I need to tell you that budget amendments are to be read in full.
What does that mean?
That's what, yeah, unfortunately, that's what the statute says.
Okay.
When you amend.
Can you make sure I have my copy?
I have a copy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I made the motion, but I think Jack seconded it.
Yes.
Resolution 95, 2019, authorizing amendment to the approved 2019 municipal budget states, Councilman Lexstein introduced and offered the following resolution for approval, seconded by Councilman Keeler. Whereas the local municipal budget for 2019 was approved on the second day of April 2019, and whereas the public hearing on said budget has been held as advertised on May 7th, 2019, and whereas it is desired to amend said approved budget as described below, whereas this amendment shall be published in accordance with NJSA 48-4-9, and a public hearing on this amendment will be held on May 21, 2019, after which the governing body may move to adopt said budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Borough Council of the Borough of Seabright and the County of Monmouth that the following amendments to the approved budget of 2019 be made. Number one, under general revenues, under surplus, approved budget $621,693.97 becomes amended to $661,693.97. The total surplus anticipated in the approved budget is $621,693.97. The amended budget shall read $661,693.97. Can I keep going one by one?
You should make her read this, since Richard.
I'll be happy to read it. You want me to do it? I've done this before. Summary of revenues. One, surplus anticipated from $621,693.97 to $661,693.97. Five, subtotal general revenues from $1,584,945.70 to $1,624,945.70. Six, amount to be raised by taxes to support a municipal budget, a local tax for municipal purposes, including reserves for uncollected taxes from $4,475,000 to $4,495,000. Seven, general revenues from $6,059,945.70 to $6,119,945.70. Eight, general appropriations. A, appropriation within cash, general administration, other expenses from $108,000 to $103,000. Municipal clerk, other expenses from $35,000 to $33,000. Financial administration, other expenses from $36,000 to $34,000. Revenue administration, other expenses from $11,000 to $9,000. Legal services, other expenses from $175,000 to $170,000. Engineering services, other expenses from $70,000 to $66,000. Police department, other expenses from $138,000 to $135,000. Streets and roads, other expenses from $115,000 to $110,000. Solid waste disposal, other expenses from $135,000 to $200,000. Landfill disposal costs, $95,000 to $118,000. Total operation of items within caps, $4,206,950 to $4,266,950. Total operations including contingent with caps, $4,206,950 to $4,266,950. Other expenses from $2,158,350 to $2,218,350. Total general appropriations for municipal purposes within caps from $4,715,612 to $4,775,612. Subtotal general appropriations from $5,669,000 to $945.70 to $5,729,945.70. Nine, general total general appropriations from $6,059,945.70 to $6,119,945.70. Summary of general appropriations. Total general appropriations for municipal purposes within caps from $4,715,612 to $4,775,612. Total general appropriations from $6,059,945.70 $6,119,945.70.
We should know that is available on the website.
We have to do the roll call.
So spell that. Council members Birdsall.
Yes.
Keeler.
Yes.
Kelly. Lexstein.
Yes.
Moody.
Yes.
And now I have a motion. Motion to adopt. Me first.
Aye.
Councilman Bertzow?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Councilman Reed?
Yes.
Do we need the update here? Councilman Kelly, are